Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, it's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. We all know sleepers can win you championships, but finding these guys takes time. That's where the Sleeper King comes in. Let me do all the research so you don't have to. Every week, I'm going to break down which sleepers you need to pick up off the waiver wire and which surprise deep sleepers could help you win the week. Every episode, just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
Obviously, we're all disappointed, in the loss, and we should be. But I told the guys in there that in the NFL, it's how you respond that matters. And you don't have a lot of time to do that. Again, this is going to hurt for 24 hours, and then we need to look at the tape on the plane, look at it tomorrow. We come in a little bit later and get with your coach and get with the meetings and make sure that we make the corrections needed. To win a football game.
We're back with more Chuck Swirsky on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
And welcome back at 4 o'clock in the morning on the air until 5. And Mully and Haw, Dustin will have the updates around the National Football League, Major League Baseball, and then some. We've got lines open to go from 4 until 5 at 312-644-6767. 312-644-6767. When you call, you're going to hear the voice of Robbie Triano, who will screen the calls, put you on, and then we will get to the phone lines. And Robbie is across from us here at 670 The Score, putting our program together. So, Robbie, thank you so much, as always. And I'm looking at our texters at 312-644-6767. And I think I can say pretty mildly they're upset with me and they're not happy campers because they want me to rip into the Bears. I think we've done that from a standpoint. We've been very, very upfront. We've been very honest about the poor play of the offensive line, the poor play calling, the poor job on penalties. Caleb Williams did not play well. I don't know how much more we can be as honest and brutal as that.
No, you've done a great job of like laying out what exactly it is. We know exactly what the issues were tonight. The offensive line, Shane Waldron, Caleb Williams didn't play as good as he should, and there's a lot of coaching errors, and I feel like we've hit that. Is it fixable, the offensive line? I'm afraid about that. The rest, I think we can work on.
Yes, and on the positive side, defense, special teams, right?
No, definitely. And for all the Bears fans out there who are nervous and scared, I understand. That was not a pretty way to lose a football game. But the next couple of games, you have the Colts. You have the Rams at home. Matthew Stafford has been balling, but the Rams have been hurt. Cooper Kupp got hurt today. Puka Nacua's out. Then you have the Panthers, and then you have the Jaguars, two really struggling teams. You can still have a very good record at the end of this next four games.
Correct. But again, people don't want to hear this. People want us to go wacko and crazy and rip apart the Bears. And I'm saying the Bears are not at the Houston level. Okay. Houston is at one tier and the Bears are trying to get there. Okay. And the Bears have a lot of weapons on the offensive side, but they still need that line and they've got to get a running game.
Do you think Bears fans are just hurt? You know, they've seen this story before. Every year they feel like, oh, it's our defense that carries us, not the offense. And it feels like, oh, we got this quarterback. We got Mitch Trubisky. That didn't work out. Oh, we got Justin Fields. That didn't work out.
Here's the mindset of a Bears fan. Here we go again. We've seen this movie before. We've seen it with Justin Fields. We don't want to see it again. We're tired. But people have to be understanding, and the rationale is that this is a different system. It's a different regime. Ryan Poles is a terrific general manager. He has put together some really nice pieces, but it's going to take time. And until they get that line together, and until they have a consistent running game, they are going to struggle. Now, again, I love their receivers. I love their tight ends, and I wish Cole Kmet had been more involved in the first half. And I hope he gets more involved against the Colts, because I do believe he's a terrific, terrific tight end, or they wouldn't give him $50 million. Thank you very much. I didn't like the play calling. I haven't liked the play calling in two games. But having said all this, I still believe in this football team, and they're capable of winning 9, 10, 11 games. And the NFC North is tough. I mean, Minnesota is showing me something, Robbie.
No, yeah, and I, for the people at home, I'm a Lions fan, so I'm sorry we lost today. But the fact that Minnesota is 2-0 and the rest of the division is 1-1, that's surprising, to say the least.
Yeah, I mean, this is a nasty division. Let's be honest. Green Bay's good. Green Bay has a collection of some really good young players. And, you know, once they get Love back, if they can win a couple of ball games without him, let's say he misses four games, they go 2-2 without him. I'm saying, hey, that's a win-win for them. And the same thing with Minnesota. I mean, Darnold has bounced around, whether it was the Jets, Charlotte, you know, Carolina rather, or San Francisco. If he can put some wins together, good on them. But I'm still saying, just because they lost to Houston, the Bears, that doesn't mean their season is over. It's game two. So for people that want us to go off the deep end and rip this club, not going there. They played a bad football game, and they've got to get some things together. But, again, it's the second game of the year. Let's go to the phone lines, 312-644-6767. Bernie is in Indiana. Bernie, how you doing?
Hey, Chuck, how you been?
Good, thank you.
Yeah, you know, I believe that it's all the hype that's been around Caleb Williams for the last 6 months about, you know, how he's going to pass for, you know, 47,000 yards and be the Bears' freaking all-time leading passer. And, you know, you got these fans all hyped up on the score, you know, all the announcers, all the fans calling up every day.
Including me.
And, you know, the thing about it is, how many rookie quarterbacks ever play good? I mean, C.J. Stroud was an anomaly.
Yes, he was.
You know, he's an anomaly. He was what he had what Caleb Williams has this year. Okay, he had one of the worst schedules in the league last year. Okay, easiest schedule. So he really didn't play anybody last year, because I didn't think he looked that good last night either. You know, I mean, they did.
I've seen him play better. Did he have a great game? Let's see. He threw one pick or one touchdown, no picks. 23 of 36 for 260. So, again, it was a decent performance, a rating of 94.7. So, again, it wasn't the greatest C.J. Stroud game I've ever seen in his brief NFL career. And I'll tell you what, I think he has a wonderful upside. But but the expectations for Caleb Williams are off the charts. And I plead guilty, because I'm right there. And I think he's going to have an outstanding rookie year. I still believe that. I think he's going to have a magnificent NFL career and perhaps a Hall of Fame career. But it's going to take time, and people don't want to hear that. People want him to come out and throw four touchdown passes a game and throw for 300-plus yards 17 straight weeks. Not happening, period. Get it together. Our fan base is going too extreme on this whole situation. But they do have talent, and they're good enough to win 9, 10, 11 games. Period.
He throws – I just watched last night. You know, they said, oh, he's so accurate. He's this, he's that. Throw the ball off the back foot. It doesn't make it in the NFL. I'm sorry. You know, he's not Patrick Mahomes. All right, he ain't even close, you know.
So you're judging him on two NFL games? Is that what you're telling me?
No. I'm just saying that.
What are you saying?
This isn't the NCAA, okay? You know, when you got to eat the ball, eat it. I mean, he ate it a lot anyway last night anyway.
Okay. You know? So here's what I want you to do. I'm gonna put you on the spot, but I want you to do this when we hang up. I want you to take a look at rookie quarterbacks in the National Football League. And you tell me Troy Aikman, his rookie season. John Elway, his rookie season. You go right down the list of quarterbacks that were taken.
Peyton Manning was probably the worst.
Peyton Manning's interception total. In fact,
28 interceptions.
So you got Peyton Manning, Troy Aikman, John Elway. Who else am I missing that went number one? I mean, look at Baker Mayfield with Cleveland. You could go right down the list, one after another after another. You've got to – playing quarterback in the National Football League is one of the toughest things to do in sports, period. But for whatever reason, fans don't want to hear that. Fans just want to say, hey, put him in the lineup, and what's wrong with you? You didn't throw three touchdown passes. You didn't throw 300 yards. You got picked off. I mean, come on, give me a break. So
you know, the thing about it, though, is you know, it's the same thing that we've heard from about Justin Fields for the last 2 years. You know, it's the coaching, it's the line, it's this, it's that. Why didn't we fix the line first? Okay? I mean, we didn't even address the offensive line. I mean, they got a bunch of guys there that can't play dead.
Well, I think that's going to be an issue, and it'll be interesting to see how they address the issue. Houston's defensive line is superb, but the Bears are going to have to definitely get better. They must get better. That's not even a question. They have to get better. So thank you. Appreciate it. 312-644-6767. Robbie Triano is our producer. Robbie, we're going to keep you on the mic for a second. So we just, you know, heard a call saying, listen, you know, Caleb Williams, this isn't the Pac-12. I get it. But you know what? But for whatever reason, I'm reading the text. People don't want to hear the truth about putting a football team together. Granted, they've got work to do on the offensive line. Granted, they've got to get a scheme going to run the football. But, I mean, you're asking a lot out of a rookie quarterback.
No, definitely. But I think the conversation heading into the season was, oh, Caleb Williams is being drafted to the best environment, the best situation any number one draft pick has had. He has DJ Moore, he has Keenan Allen, he's got DeAndre Swift, he's got Rome Odunze, he's got amazing defense. He needs to step in and be amazing immediately. And I don't think fans here realize it's really hard to win the NFL. It's really hard to be good. And I think a lot of fans are trying to grasp right now, why isn't this happening? And I think that's what is happening.
Okay, so... So when we get there, here's a, let's see. People listen to you and your words carry a lot of weight. When you make such statements, fans buy in the first sign of trouble, the whole world turns. And I'm talking about Caleb Williams. I think Caleb Williams is going to have a really good rookie season. I do. I'm not ready to judge him after two games. And I think it would be foolish to do so. If this was week 8, week 9, and we're still seeing him struggle, then I could say, okay, like we really, really need to pump the brakes. After two games, absolutely not. I think this kid is a winner, period. Let's go to the phone lines at 312-644-6767, 312-644-6767, because I think it's ridiculous that people are ready to bury this guy and bury the Bears after two games. I don't get it. I just don't get it. And that's not to say that you can't sugarcoat what we saw against Houston. They had a lot of problems against a really good Houston ball club that we've gone over and over and over time and time again, ranging from offensive line, ranging from their running game, ranging from their play calling, ranging from penalties. You know, I mean, you could go, I mean, one after another after another. I get it. I'm not stupid. I'm not naive. But I'm just saying that, okay, what's the first thing you would do with this football team, Robbie?
Get an offensive lineman. That's it.
How?
That's the thing.
So you tell me when because I'm sure
that's what's really difficult. But you can't just like go
trade. 30 teams in the NFL are probably saying the same thing.
Right, in order to also get that offensive lineman that everybody wants, what are you willing to give up? If you're a Bears fan, are you willing to give up a first-round pick? That seems a little aggressive unless you're getting an all-pro type of offensive tackle. But no one is trading that. Are you going to trade DJ Moore? Are you going to trade a high-chip player
you
have?
No, you're not going to trade DJ Moore.
That's what I'm saying. But it's unrealistic to trade for an offensive lineman.
Okay,
right,
but if I'm a GM, unless a team in a few weeks... When's the trade deadline? Can you Google that?
I believe it's week 7 or week 8, but let me
look
up.
Let's say we're at week 7, okay? Hypothetically. I'm going to speculate now. Let's say it's week 7, and teams are starting to fall out of the playoff picture, and...
Week 9 also for people
at home. Week 9. Okay, thank you. So let's say you're a team, and you're heading south, that you aren't making the playoffs, and you're a GM, and you go to your owner, and say, listen, you know what? I got to start thinking about 2025. I'm going to start thinking about the draft, how we're going to position ourselves for the draft. And we have a lineman, an offensive lineman, who is going to want to get an extension, or he's a free agent. And I think I can call a couple of teams desperately in search of an offensive lineman who will make the playoffs, who want to make inroads on the playoff picture, who want to win a game to justify them building for 2025. And I think I can get a second round pick for offensive lineman John Doe. And the owner says, okay, do it. That's when you start picking up the phone and making calls, unless you're completely overwhelmed with a deal right now. And you say, I'm not going to get a better deal at the trade deadline. I'm going to make this trade now. But I don't see that happening. If you have a really good offensive lineman that's in his mid-20s, even 30, 31, why would you make that deal?
You shouldn't. The Bears should make that deal, but another team should not. I think it's just impossible for the Bears to fix this offensive line this year.
How many offensive linemen are traded at the deadline?
Very few, unless it's like for a fifth or sixth round pick.
Okay. And that's why the Bears caught a major break in that trade with Washington for a defensive lineman like Sweat. Right?
No, it was a steal of a trade to do that. But as Bears fans, do you trust Ryan Poles now to make deals? He's obviously made maybe the greatest deal in NFL history to get that number one pick, but he also had a stinker like Chase Claypool.
Yes, he did. But every GM's going to face that in any sport. I mean, Jerry West, rest his soul, who is one of the greatest GMs in the history of the NBA, made mistakes. But when he made a mistake, he corrected him almost immediately. You're going to make mistakes. No one's perfect. Whether it was Jerry West, Red Auerbach, when he ran Boston, made mistakes. But he had more pluses than minuses. You could go right down the NHL. Scotty Bowman, when he ran the Penguins and the Red Wings in Montreal, he had unbelievable trades. He also made mistakes. It happens. We're human. But it's going to be very interesting to see as we move forward where this is going with the offensive line. We'll be back. 312-644-6767. 312-644-6767. This is Chuck Swirsky.
Boy, the Bears really need a play here. They just need to get something jump started.
The pressure again. Williams goes down. Sacked at the one by Mario Edwards. And a sack against the Colts. Delivers the hard hit on the rookie. It's been a tough second half for this Bears offense.
We're back with more Chuck Swirsky on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
One of seven quarterback sacks turned in by Houston over the Bears in the Texans' victory over Chicago 19-13, Bears with a record of 1-1 as they take on the Colts on Sunday. That's a noon kickoff in Indianapolis, and the Colts favored by 2.5. But the Bears are going to win that football game. Coming up in just a matter of a couple hours, Ole Kreutz with Mully and Haw at 7, Brad Biggs with Mully and Haw at 7:25, DJ Moore with Mully and Haw at 8. You got Anthony Herron with Bernstein and Holmes at 11, Dan Weider with Bernstein and Holmes at noon. Kurt Warner with Matt Spiegel, Patrick Manley at 3. Mark Brody joins the show at 4. Jalen Johnson with Spiegel and Manley at 5. And Tuesday at noon, T.J. Edwards with Bernstein and Holmes right here on 670 The Score. You're listening to a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and Busey Banks. And be listening later this morning during Mully and Hoff for your chance to be a part of a live studio audience for their September 25th broadcast from 5:30 to 10 at the Blue Cross Blue Shield Performance Stage. Mully and Hall will be joined by the head coach of the Bulls, Billy Donovan, in studio during the 8 a.m. hour that morning. It's all brought to you by Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois through it all. 312-644-6767. 312-644-6767. Let's go to Tom in Rockford on 670 The Score at 425. Tom, how you doing?
Doing good. How you doing, bud?
Good. Tell me about the Bears game. Did you see the game, number one? And secondly, what did you think?
I watched the first half. I didn't think that first half they were doing too awful bad, you know, moving the ball a little bit. But like everybody else has been saying, you know, I think that offensive line is, you know, I think that he would just struggle, you know, the biggest struggle for him right now. You know, they want to crucify Caleb Williams, but and I agree with you. It's only a second game, but you do got to fix up front because you can't expect to do it all.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of Darnell Wright. Without any question, he is a legit starting offensive lineman in this league. The other players, they're going to have to, you know, I mean, I like Jenkins, but they're going to have to do something because they can't go week to week to week with this personnel. But again, it is what it is. And for people to think all you have to do is revamp it and pick up the phone and bring in some people, it's a lot easier said than done.
Yeah, I know, like, I know you were talking earlier about the quarterbacks, you know, and a rookie quarterback come in and win. It is tough, you know, but, you know, I guess I look back at, like, Roethlisberger, but he had a great supporting cast, you know. I can't believe he went 15-1 in his first season. So, I mean, I guess it can be done, but they're few and far between, you know.
Very few and far between. I appreciate the call. Thank you. Drive safely. 312-644-6767. Harold, what's happening? Where are you calling from?
Buffalo Grove.
Yes, sir.
Hey, Chuck. I want to know why Ryan Poles thought Coleman Shelton was the answer at center. That's a position that shouldn't be getting pancaked by a middle linebacker.
Well, you know what? I can't answer that. I'm not going to try and beat around the bush there. I do not cover the Bears. Mark Grody does, and we will ask Mark to make that call and question when the next time he has a chance to talk to the GM. I do not have access. I do not have the red phone to the Bears office, so I can't give you an answer. It's a great question. I just can't give you an answer. They obviously saw something in him.
I feel like that's a position that shouldn't be getting it should be addressed, especially with a rookie quarterback.
Yeah, you're probably right. I would agree
it's
with you
there.
It's
a very important position.
Yes.
With a youngin' at the quarterback position.
Yep. Well, again, that's a very good point, and I will pass that on to Mark Grody. I don't know how often Ryan Poles is available to the media because, again, I don't cover that ball club on a regular basis, on any basis for that matter, but we will pass that on to Mark Grody, and I thank you for the call. 312-644-6767, 312-644-6767. That's not to say, you know, Robbie Triano is our producer. That's not to say that in the NFL they bring players in, you know, during the course of a season, during the course of a week to, you know, try them out, you know, to bring them in for an interview, to do agility drills, to do all these things. I mean, that's just the nature of the business. You know, they do it with kickers all the time and with punters when someone gets hurt or someone's in a funk and they just can't make field goals anymore. These kickers come in for a day. They try out. They kick field goals. Yeah, we like you. No, we don't. Punters do the same thing. Offensive linemen, I don't know how that works, where you bring an offensive lineman in and say, okay, we're going to put you through a series of tests to see if they're in shape or their quickness, agility during these drills. I don't know all that good stuff, but I would think it's really hard to find an offensive lineman right now somewhere and just say, oh, by the way, you're going to be playing on Sunday.
So Chuck, I have a question for you. I'm going to give you two scenarios. The first scenario, the Bears get a stud all-pro tackle. They trade a first-round pick, and they get that stud. How does that change this season outlook for you?
Well, it's going to be better. I mean, if you get a stud, what define what a stud is.
Let's say an all-pro. Let's say you
Why would you trade an all-pro to begin with?
Why would you want to get an all-pro?
Every team wants. But why would you trade an all-pro offensive lineman?
Let's say they're just tanking. They're tanking. They want to get rid of him. They have a contract they don't really want. Let's say he's aging. He's 33, 34. They want to get rid of him. How much does that change the season?
Well, number one, in their evaluation, if he's 33, 34, I'm not giving up a first-round pick. I'm not. And that's not to say there are exceptions because some guys can play 35, 36, but this club isn't at the point where they're going to a Super Bowl, so why would you surrender a first-round pick for a player who may not be here in 2 years?
So you make a good point. You don't think this team is going to win a Super Bowl this year. Let's say they don't trade at all. Let's say they keep the offensive line they have. They believe in development. They believe they'll get it together. How many wins do you think this team will have if they just keep this group of people, which is probably the most likely outcome?
Well, I'm basing this that they're going to be better week to week, okay? And so I still think this club is capable of winning between 9 and 11 games. Now, if they go 8-9, would I consider that disappointing? Probably. But again, I have to put an asterisk because they're going with a rookie quarterback. That is a lot of pressure on a rookie quarterback. I don't care. You can have all the pieces around you, and he has a lot of pieces, really good pieces, but it's still a very demanding position, one of the toughest, if not the toughest, for a singular position in professional sports is to be an NFL starting quarterback. So let's move to phase two. Number one, you're not going to get an all-pro offensive lineman on the block because if he's anywhere between 26 to 28 years old, it's going to cost you more than a first-round pick. I can tell you that right now. They're going to want more than a number one pick. And you're going to have to, if you're that team with an all-pro, you're going to have to justify that with your owner to trade a player in his prime who's a great offensive lineman. Offensive linemen aren't traded that are that quality. I mean, if you're talking about a journeyman who's been with a couple of clubs, he bounces around, he's been with three or four or five teams, he's in his eighth, ninth year, maybe you can find that and give up a seventh-round pick. I don't know.
Now, I feel like Bears fans are probably worried about this offensive line because it's stunting the development of Caleb Williams. He's not seeing the reads he's supposed to be or making the decisions because he's constantly having to run for his life or constantly having to make plays that he's not comfortable making. So I feel like that's where the frustration is, and I feel like it's also now bleeding into how people view Caleb Williams. Because he can't make spectacular plays because of the offensive line, people are saying, oh, I wish we had Justin Fields. Oh, did we get the right guy? I feel like Caleb Williams right now is in a really, really tough spot.
Well, how do you think he feels?
He's probably hurt. He's probably really hurt.
I mean, he just got drilled, by a very gifted Houston defensive line.
He got drilled by everybody.
On some clean hits, some wide open look hits, okay? I mean, blindside hits. And I don't care. You could have the helmet, you could have pads, you can be, 6'3", whatever the case may be. A hit's a hit. And he took a lot of hits, and he got sacked 7 times. And the answer he gave when he was going out of bounds, and he was just drilled. And he said, I'm good. And I'm sure his body is going to probably say, let me rethink that. He'll be in the cold tub tomorrow, if not sooner.
I hope people don't question his toughness.
No.
Because I think heading into the pre-draft process, it's like, he paints his fingernails. Oh, he cries. That guy took that many hits, and he came into the post game, and he didn't bash his O-line. He didn't bash anybody. He said all the right things. So you have a good character guy here.
Yes. 312-644-6767, 312-644-6767. Do we have that clip? Do we have to take a break? Do we have that clip with Patrick Manley and Olin Kreutz? We're going to play that in a moment. We also will go to the phone lines. Let's take a break. We'll return in a moment right here on 670 The Score at 435.
Second, first, and 15 on this drive. Williams on the run. The sideline gets popped in bounds by Alshon. And nobody's happy over there. Face of Darnell Wright of the Bears. A whole bunch of Bears over there on their sideline.
I thought it was a fair hit when I first saw it.
I'm with you there. Live, I thought it was too.
But I also sort of like what I'm seeing by Caleb Williams' teammates.
Yeah.
You know?
Let's watch what happens in the scrum here. Alshire gets up and a punch straight into the face of Roshon Johnson, who was not in the game, was just standing on the sideline. Meantime, the Texans full of Funakasi is having to be pushed away from the Bears as he was continuing the conversation on the field.
We're back with more Chuck Swirsky on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
So again, the reason why Alshara was not ejected is because there wasn't a flag thrown on the play. And so, by rule, in this case, no rule of the NFL, that they can't go to the videotape in the tent and say, oh, yeah, that is unsportsmanlike, you're ejected from the game. I think they need to tweak that rule, Robbie. I really do. He should have been ejected from the game, period.
Yeah, he also punched someone with a helmet on. That's kind of stupid.
Yeah, it is stupid. But I told you this when we started the show. I think it's karma. And I think... you're going to punch somebody with a helmet on, you're going to break your hand. So there.
Yeah, in terms of fighting, I think football is the hardest one to do unless you rip the helmet off, but that's a lot of effort.
Yes, it is. It's like when a pitcher or a hitter and they get frustrated, a guy just, came out of a ball game and he takes his fist and he bangs it against the wall and he breaks his hand for like 2 months.
Yeah, I think I forgot the Cubs pitcher that did it this year, but yeah, he was out for the whole year because he, in frustration, he punched the wall.
Yes, he did.
So don't punch things, people.
No. 312-644-6767. Again, Dustin will have up-to-date scoreboard. You got Mully and Hall from 5 to 9. They're going to have everything you want and more in the Bears. They're going to talk about this poor job on the offensive line, the play calling. They're going to get into the run game or lack thereof. We're going to talk about a lot of stuff that went on in this Houston game as they get ready for the Colts later on Sunday. Indianapolis, a 2.5-point favorite, but I like the Bears in that football game. Let's go to George. George, where are you calling from, please?
I'm calling from Galewood.
Now, where is Galewood?
That's Harlem and North Avenue area, edge of Chicago.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, so basically, I'm not ready to jump off the bridge for the quarterback. It just seems like for the past, I don't know, say 8 years or even further, from what I can remember, the offensive line has always been the issue. It seems like if we had an offensive line for Justin Fields, if we had an offensive line going back, a decent offensive line going back, even Jay Cutler and other quarterbacks, we would have been much better or had a much more successful seasons than we've had. I'm worried about this offensive line and ruining a young quarterback like Williams. Putting him under this duress is just, it's play after play. He's going to be making these decisions based on the rush.
So what do you do?
Oh, I don't understand why. We were able to address all these receivers. We went out and got Swift, which I don't really understand. Why haven't we gone in the past 3 years? Poles has been here, 3 years, right? Why hasn't the offensive line been addressed more? Why? If you build your team up through the trenches, your team is much stronger. You can have all the wide receivers in the world, but if you can't give your quarterback more than 2.5 seconds or 2 seconds even, he barely had that. they're not going to do anything. They're going to ruin this guy.
Well, number one, you know, Bates is out for another three games, so he's on the injured list. So we're going to see him for three more games. Shelton continues to struggle at center. And, you know, Davis got the start at guard. Now, they do have some other players, but they really lack consistency. You know, I was reading a report about what Matt Eberflus said about Davis, because they want more consistency out of him. And he said that Davis coming into the game had a really consistent practice this past week, was really locked in terms of the run and the pass. But, you know, it's one thing to be consistent in practice. You got to bring that to the game, right?
Oh, yeah. And I just don't understand how it just seems like it's always stems from this offensive line we've had for years and years. I don't know. Do you drawn that same conclusion that I am?
Well, again, I've said this many times already in the 5 hours, is that I'm old school, meaning how to build a football team, and you start with the offensive line, and you also have to have a consistent running game to win in the National Football League. And I get it. It's changed. This is not my father's NFL anymore, or my old NFL, because everyone's throwing the football 35 to 50 times a game. But so I still think you need balance, and you've got to be able to run the football.
Agreed. But how do you develop? I mean, do you think with this offensive line, you really want your quarterback in there throwing as many times as he's throwing?
Well, you got to run the football, though. Right? You
can't. Oh, I know. I agree.
You just can't have him, you know, take a 5-step drop and throw 45 to 50 times a game. A couple other things. I would like to see their offensive scheme approach the line of scrimmage quickly. And they did some of that in the Houston game last night. They didn't do enough of it. I wanted to see them get Cole Kmet involved, like they did early in the third quarter. He was a non-factor in the first half. In fact, he just kind of was standing on the sideline for the most part. But they had no run game against the Texans. None.
Right. So, yeah, I don't know if that's the scheme and the offensive line, or it's probably both.
You know, fans don't want to hear this, but it's true. Not a lot of clubs are going into Houston and winning a football game this year. No one really thought they were going to win this football game, and yet they were in it until the last couple of minutes. And had they not had made terrible decisions on challenges, they would have had at least one timeout left in their pocket down the stretch. But I'm looking at the schedule. They've got Indiana, they got the Colts coming up, and that's a winnable game. They got the Rams home. They're really beat up, and they got some key pieces that are gone for a considerable time. They got the Rams at Soldier Field on the 29th. Then they got Carolina, the worst team in the NFL. They've got them coming to town. And then you got Jacksonville in London. And then they go to Washington. Washington's going to be a tough game for them, and at Arizona. So they've got two tough road games, but that's not until late October. So you've got the Colts and the Rams, Carolina and Jacksonville. Those are winnable ball games, Robbie.
No, definitely. And I think for all the people who are panicked out there, I think you can be worried about your offensive line. You can be worried about the things that were looking bad, but I promise things are going to be better on the horizon if injuries don't happen. But Chuck, I want the people here to hear a moment that happened earlier in the show, because I think it's one of the best moments we've had on the Score in a little bit. So here's one of the best moments we had. It's about a 2-minute clip.
Let's go to the phone lines, or do we have to take a break? All right, let's go back to the phone lines. And who do we go to next, Robbie?
We are going to go to Kathy. Let's go to Kathy.
Kathy, how you doing?
Oh, fine. How about yourself?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
You know, I watched the game, and I'm going to have to agree with a lot of your callers. You can't keep kicking the can down the road. You're going to have to start fixing this. You know what? We suffered a lot with Justin Fields. And now look at him. He's playing like an ace over in Pittsburgh. How many times do I have to sit here?
He's playing like an ace in Pittsburgh? Are you kidding me? How many field goals have the Steelers kicked in the last two games? Hey, listen, I'm a big Justin Fields fan, but I wouldn't say he's – and if you're telling me, would I rather have Caleb Williams or Justin Fields, I'd rather have Caleb Williams.
Oh, no, I wouldn't. That guy can't play nothing. I think my kid plays better on the sandlot than that guy does.
Oh, Kathy. Come on, Kathy.
No. I'm a Justin Fields fan, and I think he plays a hell of a lot better game, more heart, more determination.
Oh, my gosh. Now we're going into heart? How can you judge Caleb Williams' heart? No, this is – I'm not ripping Justin Fields. I love Justin Fields. I want him to have a great career. But don't start questioning players' hearts. You don't know Justin.
Don't start justifying a guy who can't play, who can't throw a football.
Oh, my gosh. He can't throw football. Kathy.
Let me ask you this. Did we watch the same game?
Yes, we did.
I watched the game, and it sucked. I'm done kicking the can down the road.
Kathy, listen. You know what? Do you need to settle down, okay? Have some warm milk and a cookie, and you'll be great.
Why don't you have a donut, okay?
I think that's a great idea. Thank you. All right. You got to love Bears fans. Well, there you go, Robbie. That was from a few hours ago. But Bears fans are very irate at the performance of their football team. And that's why we have shows like this on 670 The Score, so fans can vent. And I feel the fans' frustration. I'm just trying to put things in perspective, all right? They did not play well. I've never said they played well. Their defense, solid. Special teams, solid. Offense, not good. Decision-making, not good. Offensive play calling, not good. Okay? What more do you want? Am I telling you the truth, Robbie?
No, I think you've laid it out pretty well, but people want to hear doom and gloom.
Yeah, and guess what? It's only week two. It's not week 10. So if you judge a football team after 2 weeks, we're not talking here about the New York football Giants. If you look at the roster of the Bears compared to the Giants, it's night and day. So people, okay, relax. Take a deep breath. This is not a Super Bowl team, but they've got talent. But they have got to take care of a lot of things, starting with that offensive line. There. Is that cool? We good?
I think we're good.
Okay. Well, listen, we're going to be back next week for more donuts from midnight to 5 following the game against Indianapolis. Robbie, thank you so, so very much. I appreciate it. Any final words you'd like to share with us?
I would like to say, for the people who didn't listen, Chuck said he would give donuts to the entire 670 of the Score staff if the Colts lose this week. So sadly, I'm rooting for the Colts because I'm poor and I need donuts.
No, if the Colts win, if the Colts win.
Sorry, if the Bears lose, my bad.
Yeah, and the Bears aren't going to lose to the Colts, and you can book that. So because I'm a cheap date, and there's no way the Bears are going to lose that football game, but. I will say this. I'm anxious to hear Mullion Hawes' perspective on this game because I think they obviously have a great deal of insight, and I'm looking forward to hearing this on Bears Monday throughout the day right here on 670 The Score. And I hope we brought you some perspective on patience and understanding that this is week two. And that doesn't mean that the Bears have got to get their act together, because they do. But again, I'm not ready to bury this club. Again, coming up on the Plumbers 911 Football Monday, presented by Fireplace Chimney Authority and Busey Bank. You got Olin Krutz, Mully Haw at 7, Brad Biggs, Mully Haw at 7:25, DJ Moore with Mully and Haw at 8. Anthony Heron, Bernstein and Holmes at 11, Bernstein and Holmes and Dan Weider at noon, Kurt Warner with Spiegs and Manley at 3, Mark Grody with Matt and Patrick at 4, Jalen Johnson with Matt and Patrick at 5, and then Tuesday at noon, TJ Edwards with Bernstein and Holmes. Do we take care of all that stuff? Everything good? All right. Robbie, always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Chuck.
Coming up, Dustin, he will have all the scores of all the games. We got Cubs baseball tonight. Oakland remains in Chicago after losing a couple of ball games to the White Sox. They're now taking on the Cubs. We'll have the broadcast, a three-game series, followed by Washington. The Cubs are 5 games out of the third playoff spot in the wild card in the National League, but time is running out with only 13 games left. This is Chuck Swirsky. Always a pleasure. Thanks for listening.